And thanks for tuning to The Rundown. Now on the show, we turn to a conversation with Angie Welling, former spokeswoman for Governor Gary Herbert and a public relations professional here in Salt Lake City, who recently penned an open letter to Senator Mike Lee at UtahPolicy.com, critical of his stalwart opposition to the Affordable Care Act. Angie Welling, thanks for joining us today on The Rundown.
Thanks for having me.
So you wrote an open letter at UtahPolicy.com that is critical of Senator Lee for his stance to try to sort of retroactively kill Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Why did you write the letter?
You know, I was really frustrated. People have described it as angry. I don't know that I'm angry necessarily. I just became really frustrated. And it happened kind of in a flash Monday morning of this week that I was getting ready for work and I was listening to public radio and I was listening to all of the stories of the shutdown and all of the rhetoric that was surrounding the shutdown was all predicated on this idea that Obamacare is going to ruin this nation. Obamacare will hurt millions of people. And I just got frustrated and thought, no, it's not. It might. But I know one person in particular, one person very close to me who has been waiting for October 1st to come, and that's my mother. And so as I got ready for work, you know, I was a journalist for a long time, and so I've written in the past. And as I got ready for work, I was writing this letter in my head, and I was doing my hair, and I was doing my makeup, and I was writing the letter in my head.
You were working on deadline.
I was, because I knew that, you know, the timeliness factor was getting that letter published as quickly as possible. And I got to work and I turned on my computer and I kind of just knocked it out pretty quickly.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about your mom. Your mom is a breast cancer survivor and has had a hard time finding insurance.
Right, exactly. My mother is 61 years old. She's a 16-year breast cancer survivor. She had a mastectomy 16 years ago, almost to the day. And she has been uninsured off and on in that time period. Fortunately, at the time she had insurance, she had a really good job, and as a result of her cancer and her treatment, she lost that job. She became a pre-existing condition, and from then on, she has had some insurance, catastrophic insurance only, none. It's been a very complicated and personally trying process for her.
And that's one of the, obviously one of the ideas behind the Affordable Care Act or one of the stipulations is that people who have pre-existing conditions can't be denied coverage.
Right, can't be excluded from coverage. And that's what she found is every time she turned around, she either could get coverage, but it was so cost prohibitive that it wasn't even an option for her, or she just simply out of hand was denied. And that's after a lot of research. That's after a lot of time and energy spent filling out 12, 14, 16-page applications and spending a lot of time in front of the computer exploring her options. And, you know, I think it need not be that complicated.
And when you're doing that, you have the hope that you will get the insurance and that to not have that happen. So I guess the question I have is, has your mom been able to find insurance using the new insurance marketplace yet?
She's been online. She got on first thing Tuesday morning. Unfortunately, as we all know, the system was having some problems. But I think anytime we build websites at my office, and we don't build websites for 10 million people, and it's inevitable they're going to have some problems. So she has been online. She attended a community forum hosted by Voices for Utah Children and Ralph Becker on Tuesday as well, and she sat down with one of those navigators and explored her options. They sent her home with some literature. She'll explore it. Luckily, she has until the middle of December to actually sign up, but she certainly explored it, and she's anxious to have coverage starting January 1.
Yeah, so you can either go to healthcare.gov and explore on your own, or you can use these community navigators who are people to help guide you through the process of getting the insurance.
Right, and it's still a complicated process. I mean, we know any of us who have had healthcare forever know that it's a complicated process on our own. So it's not, you know, there's criticism that it's still complicated, it's still too confusing, people won't get it. I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt. They're going to figure it out. It's not going to be easy, but I can tell you when my mom fills out her health questionnaire now, I think it's 3 questions versus 15 pages. You know, it's, are you a smoker? What is your age? And I think one other one. And so it greatly has minimized confusion. And at least she knows that she's assured something. She's not asking for anything for free. She knows that she'll be paying. She's more than willing to do that. But at least she knows that at the end of that process, she will have some kind of coverage.
Essentially, in your letter, you refer to Senator Mike Lee as kind of a playground bully because of the efforts that he has taken to try and defund Obamacare that has led to this government shutdown. He and Senator Ted Cruz from Texas have been moving to try and change the law. And they're doing this as part of a continuing resolution that which is to fund the government. The Senate says, no, this is a law. You know, we've already done this. This is done. So it goes back and forth. And now we have this government shutdown. But yeah, I mean, playground bully. That's the message you're sending.
Right. You know, and maybe it's harsh. I've been criticized that it's a little harsh, and maybe it is. But as I started to really think about it, and I don't exclude anyone from blame in the current situation. I think that all of our leaders in Washington have acted probably poorly and could have handled this better. Of course, that's easy for me to say sitting here in Salt Lake City with no responsibility to fix the problem. But as you look at Senator Lee's actions, it's this dogmatic approach, and it's, if you don't give me what I want, then I'm going to stomp my feet and cross my arms and refuse to do anything else. And I think he's abdicating his responsibilities, and I think that the stance that they've taken, which is we're going to hold the entire federal government budget hostage over a law, is what you said, it's passed. It's not, you know, Senator Hatch has been on the news calling it a bill. It's not a bill. For better or worse, this law is passed and has been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. It has problems. It has pros. It has cons. And so I think that we've mixed the message, and their ability of folks like Senator Lee and Senator Cruz to use Obamacare as this boogeyman to hold the whole government hostage is problematic.
So, you know, I think about people being denied access to healthcare because of pre-existing conditions. But then there are those, and I mean, the Tribune asked you about this too. But your former employer, Governor Gary Herbert, says he'll make a decision about whether to sign on to federal Medicaid expansion, which was sort of part of the law before it was stripped out by the Supreme Court, saying you can't obligate the states to sign on to this. There are about 123,000 people in our state that expansion could provide coverage to, and about half of those people. They earn less than 100% of the poverty level, and so they can't get coverage through the existing law. That's 60,000 people who, without federal Medicaid expansion, can't find coverage, and their pre-existing condition is sort of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine somebody else writing a letter on behalf of their mother because of that situation.
Sure.
Do you have sympathy with that?
Of course I have sympathy with that. I don't know enough about, I haven't educated myself enough about the Medicaid expansion program to really have an opinion. What I know is if we as Americans say it's a priority for people to have access to health care. And I think that's what the passage and the upholding of Obamacare did. I think it said people will disagree, but we all disagree on a lot of things, right? But overwhelmingly, I think the passage of the law says that as Americans, we think people deserve access. That doesn't mean they deserve free access. That doesn't mean they deserve free health care. I'm not asking for that. My mom's not asking for that. But if there are people in our society that need that, I think there needs to be a mechanism in place to make that happen if we decide that that's a value that we hold as Americans. And I do. I think that I see it on par with education. I think that an educated society makes our society better. A healthy society, healthy children, healthy families makes our society better. So if that's a value that we hold dear, we find a way to make it work. It's not painless, but...
Right, no, and it requires spending.
And it's not free, and it's not inexpensive. But if it's something that matters to us, we figure it out.
You know, if you've said what you would say to Senator Lee in your message, I was going to say, if you had something you wanted to say to him now, but...
I would just... not just Senator Lee... all of our delegation and all of our elected officials, and that includes the governor and that includes municipal leaders, that includes everyone who's elected to make decisions for the betterment of our society. I would just ask them to be a little more open to different points of view and a little less focused on winning. I think that's my problem with Senator Lee particularly, but it certainly extends to a lot of different people. As you know, I've been fortunate to have some really good jobs where I've worked in governmental positions and I've worked with policymakers and I've worked with leaders. And the best ones I see are the ones who are willing to listen to other points of view and that want to do the right thing at the end of the day because it's the right thing, not because it furthers their conservative credentials, as I said in the letter to Senator Lee, not because it furthers their political party, just because it's the right thing. And I don't have a problem with people who make policy decisions that differ from mine if I think in my heart and in their heart they're doing it for the right reasons. I don't think what's happening with much of Utah's federal delegation and the folks in Congress right now, I don't think they're doing it from the right place.
You know, it's funny because they, you know, you think of it, okay, they're trying to gain votes maybe, or they're trying to, you know, increase their conservative credentials, as you said. But, you know, we do come from a very conservative state where you wouldn't think that they would be facing a big threat from their constituent back home.
Right. You know, I certainly think that Senator Lee is not scared that I wrote him a letter and called him out. I think that if he even knows about it, he thinks that's one voice in the wind, because you're right. I think that the constituency here in Utah is by and large conservative. And so I don't know if it's jockeying for position within the movement, the party. I don't know if it's trying. I don't know what it is.
I mean, it could leave you vulnerable. It's a very murky subject to dig into. And I understand that vote getting is a science by many people. And that's part of maybe the problem with what happens in Washington. I really appreciate your coming in and speaking with us.
Sure.
Today.
Happy to do it.
And best of luck to your mom on finding insurance.
Thank you. Thanks.
Angie Welling is a public relations professional in Salt Lake City and past spokeswoman for Governor Gary Herbert. You can find this interview and all of the conversations that we feature on the program at our website, kcpw.org. And that's all the time we have for our show today. The Rundown was produced by Lauren Colucci. We had additional help from Jesse Ellis and Mr. Tyler Ford. Our theme music was composed by Tim Myers. Monday on the program, tune in for a conversation about civilian oversight of the police with Rick Rasmussen, administrator and investigator for the Police Civilian Review Board in Salt Lake City. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for tuning in. The Utah Business Report and Marketplace are coming up next.